Well, good evening, everyone. I'm glad to be here again and to share with you the Word of God. It's always a pleasure. I'll always take it seriously, standing all before God, because it's a tremendous responsibility. And so would you like to, if you would, go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and just hold on there for a second. We're not going to read it yet, just have it there ready. You know, there are many people that say that all humans are children of God, and we understand that that's not correct according to the Bible, right? We know that only those who are born again, those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, they are called children of God. Now, in one sense, we ought to remain as such, as children. Let's say, for example, in the area of faith, in our relationship with God, as to have that childlike faith, right? But in another sense, it's not good to remain as such, because children are easily deceived, right? And also our daily walk with the Lord would not be as holy as expected. And we cannot, as children, if we remain like spiritual children, we cannot take on important responsibilities. So we know that after a man is born, he should start growing. For example, in 2 Peter, it said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, Savior Jesus Christ. Just as you and I, those who have children, obviously, we want to see our children grow, right? It's so sad when our children, they don't grow. They keep like they're the same height, right? And they are like 20 years old, and they're like I don't know how to say that in foot. The measurements. I'm not familiar with the height. We do use that feet, right? Okay, that will be like a 20-year-old boy with like four feet. That's not all right. That's not good. That's not good at all. So we worry, right? We take him to doctor and see what's going on. There's like a lack of vitamins or whatever. So as parents, we love to see our children grow and take on responsibility and getting more and more mature. What do you think of God? He desires the same thing. He desires the same thing, because unless we grow, unless we are more mature, we won't be really effective in His mission. He has a mission, you know that. God has a plan. God has a plan. He wants to fulfill it with His children. In His children and through His children, because He deserves to be glorified. Don't you think so? Amen? Okay. So what I want to share with you is there is a very close relationship between spiritual maturity and God's glory, God's mission, what God wants to do. And if we don't press on toward that spiritual maturity, we will live just for us, for our glory, and not for God. So, as a simple illustration, a baby depends on others to be fed, to be bathed. Okay, he's only concerned about his needs. So, a baby, whenever he has a need, he just have to. It's like though you push a button and wah, he starts crying, right? He's wet, he starts crying, he's hungry, he starts crying. So he has the focus of everybody on him, because he's a baby. So for sometimes that's okay. But that baby, if he's 5, 6, 10 years old and he's still acting as a baby, that's not good. The same way In the same way it happens that, you know, that when we come to Christ, we are born again, and we are babies, spiritually speaking, right? So, and we have those similar characteristics. We love to people for people to pray for us. We love that people care about us, that call us, right? And we need that, you know, that the others are concerned about us, but we never think that we should do something for others. Now, also an adolescent, also he starts feeding himself. He can't do things about himself. He can wear his clothes by himself, but he's not concerned about others. He has this whole personal word, and he cares just about that word, that very word. And he's not thinking about others. But a mature person, not only can he feed himself, but also he cares about others. He can feed them. He can help them. He can. So, in a spiritually speaking, we a mature person cares about others. He's aware of others' needs, and he try to find the way to help. So, what I would like to do tonight is to encourage you. And to press onward on in maturity, spiritual maturity, and think what God wants me to do and how He could use me, because there is something I should keep in mind, that His glory is more important than anything else. Okay, so now I would like to ask you to follow me in this passage we're going to read. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in this passage, I would like to share some few things that can help us pursue spiritual maturity, bearing in mind God's mission and God's glory. So we're going to start from verse 9. We're in chapter 3, verse 9, till verse 15. It says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and other buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we bless you, and we ask you, Lord, to use your word, to stir our heart with it, and to help us, Lord, to press on towards a spiritual maturity, so we can be effective in your mission, so that we can give you all the glory that you deserve, Lord. We pray this, all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want to share some steps in which would help us press on towards a spiritual maturity. So the first one, we're going to see it in verse 9. It says, we're going to remain in this passage for some time. It says, "For we are laborers together with God." Now, the first thing that I should understand is I am a co-worker, a co-laborer, a co-helper. God has invited me as His son or His daughter, which is the case, that I am involved in His work. So if I don't understand this thing, I would think always that somebody has to do something for me. If I understand this, that God invited me to work with him. That means I'm taking on responsibilities, right? And what's his work? We can just summarize it this way. We are called to co-work, I don't know if that word exists, with God, or to collaborate with God in saving the sinner. Amen. Right? In edifying the saint. Yes. And sending the mature. Sending them out to other places, maybe here or overseas, so they can carry on with the same thing we've been doing. Amen. Save the lost, edify the saint, and then send out the mature. I mean, it's really simple. But we should understand that God has invited me and has invited you to collaborate in his work, both in a local level and also in a global one, when we talk about missions. But we should start here locally. We should take part in the edification of the church. And there are two wings to that. One is quantity, and the other is quality. I edify the church of God in quantity when I bring people to God, when I help them come to God, when I bring them to church. But in other sense, in quantity, when they start growing in Christ, ministering to them the word of God. As it happened to me, it happened to you, I hope. So, if we can look in verse 6, we haven't read it yet, but look what it says in the same chapter. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So it raises a question. Are you planting or are you watering the plant? There is something we can do. We have our part in this work. So are you planting? Are you watering? The second thing I would like to share with you, the second thing that would help us to press on towards spiritual maturity is to acknowledge that there is a foundation and it's important. Let's take a look at verses 10 and 11. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our rock. Amen? Amen. We can't do nothing without him. I cannot build anything besides him. So, if I abide in Christ, that means if I'm saved through Christ, anything I can do should be done also through him, through his power. Amen? Amen. Because I can't steal God's glory. I can't keep it from me. It's his glory, his word. I'm saved by grace. I will serve him by grace. Amen? So we talked so far about first thing is to understand that I'm a co-worker and there is one foundation. The second thing that would help me press on towards spiritual maturity is to remember that the work of God is about building and edification. If we read again, and please be patient with me, but this is so important. From 9 to 11, we're going to see that word build or build in. It comes once and again. It is repeated. And when God repeats words, it's not because he ran out of words. He wants to highlight that. He wants to emphasize that very word. It says, for example, 9, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. He's talking to the Corinthians. They are the building of God. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon.
I'm going to skip to verse 12. Now, if any man build, if we read it carefully, someone has laid the foundation of Jesus Christ in my life. That's how I came to Christ. Amen. Same in your case, right? But then it says, there's another person that God uses probably to keep on building on that foundation, right? But verse 12, it says, but now if any man build, that means now I have my own responsibility to build, to keep on building, to keep on growing. So one person just let the foundation, another build it on that very foundation, but I have my responsibility in this building process. I have to build. Because unless I understand this, I will always think of someone has to help me build, or someone has to build my life. Well, we always learn from others, but there is, I have to take on my own responsibility. So I see that there are people involved in my edification, right? So the same is in others' edification, in others' building. So I should bear in mind that purpose, because if you will go with me to Ephesians, please, chapter 4, we can see there is a purpose for this process of building, of edification. It's not there just for the sake of being there. There is a real process. A real purpose, What's that purpose? In Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, let's read from verses 12 to 16. It says, we can include 11. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These men has been given to church so they could help the saints to be perfected, to become mature. What is the purpose? The first purpose is it says, for the work of the ministry. We have to be involved in the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? Preach the word to the lost, edify through the word to the saints, and send the mature. Amen. So they could keep on doing the same thing. Now, and it says number 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. This is another purpose, that we all have the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man again, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, to be Christ-like, to be made unto the image of Jesus Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. God doesn't want us to be children. In our faith, okay, believe in Him, relying on His providence as a child, yes, okay, but there is here a danger to remain as a child. It says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried out with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man, and cunning and craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So the purpose of participating in the edification, in self-edification, and edification of others, is that we can minister in the work of God. We will serve in the work of God. Amen. And also grow and be no more children, because it's dangerous to stay as such. The fourth thing I would like to share with you is that would help us to grow and to be more mature is, in this edification process, there are specific materials. Very, very specific materials. Please look with me if you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go back there. And in verse 12, when when the Apostle Paul now directs his speech to anyone, any man who has this foundation, which is Jesus Christ, he wants to build upon this foundation. It says, verses 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, and he states different material. It says gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. How many materials we have there? We have six. So if we have to divide them in groups, the natural groups will be like just two. We have gold, silver, precious stones. We have wood, hay, and stubble. I just want to make sure that you're still awake. Now, God is telling us that there are two different groups, right, of materials. And he's laying this before us, and he's just telling them, well, you choose. Now, whichever group of materials I choose, I should also bear in mind that someday I'll be evaluated. And it says that in verse 13, it said, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Which means all the materials I'm going to use in my edification or others' edification are going to pass a test of fire. So there are some materials that will stand the test, others they will just burn up, right? And I'm sure we're interested in those who are not going to be burned up, right? So let's check those materials that God is giving us. Is telling us. So, the first one, gold. What does that mean? Is God interested in gold, real gold? Well, for that, we should see how the gold is used in the Bible. What is the usage of gold? But we can understand we don't have much time to go through all the verses, but if you just remember, what are the materials that have been used in the tabernacle, both in the holy place and the most holy place? Do you remember? Gold. So gold has always to do with God. Remember the Magi's, when they visited Jesus Christ, they gave him three gifts. One of them was gold. The Holy Spirit is represented by a candlestick of gold. So if gold has to do with God, though, how can I invest my life in this gold? How can I invest? So it's really simple. It has to do with my relationship with God. And also the Bible said that the Word of God is gold. Is that precious? Even more precious than gold and refined gold, right? So, if I'm ready to grow and to be more mature, I need to invest time and effort in being with God in real fellowship through His Word, through prayer. And I'm going to ask you tonight, how would you evaluate, how do you assess your this time or the time of being with God, that relationship? Do you think from 1 to 10, or A to Z? Do you think you've been investing time in being with Him? I'm not talking about knowing more about the Bible facts. I'm talking about how the Bible affects my life, how my thoughts are being affected by the thoughts of God, so that even though I'm living on this earth, but I have a heavenly mentality. This is being spiritual. It's not like praying or playing loud or using wonderful words or carrying a giant print Bible. I don't know. It has to do with the way you live in this on this earth. God let us live in here, but with a different, totally different mentality. Are you reading your Bible on a daily basis? Are you living it? Are you, whenever you go and open the Bible, do you stay the same when you just close and say, or there's something that caught your attention and that God is speaking to you and telling you, we have to deal with this thing. This is not good. I see that you're still doing this and that and that and that. Are you praying according to what God is teaching you? So when I learned to pray, you know how I learned? Listen to others, like the big brothers in church. I know it's good, but it's even better when I learn praying from the Bible. Yes, Psalm 119, oh man, I mean, it's a great prayer. I don't know how to say it, but it taught me how because that's how God wants us to pray. And there are so many prayers, and sometimes I started looking at my prayers and saying, they're not that. They're very earthly, you know? You know what I mean? They're like this level. They're not. So if goal has to do with my relationship with God and and silver in the Bible represent redemption and rescue. Some examples. The Lord Jesus Christ. How much did they pay for him? How was the price? 30 pieces of what? Of silver. If you're taking notes, Zechariah 11, 12, 13, that's the prophecy that was told about those 30 pieces. Uh-huh. And Matthew, it was accomplished. Matthew 26:15. Hosea 3:1-2, it says also, it uses that term of redemption and use silver. So if silver has to do with redemption, so in a practical way, I have to invest in silver by telling others about Jesus Christ. This is my investment, silver investment. Gold investment, a good relationship with God. Silver investment, telling others to about Jesus Christ. Amen. And I can tell, and I can collaborate with others that can tell also about Jesus if they are in different other places. So gold is my relationship with God. Silver has to do with my relationship with the lost. Now, precious stones. Precious stones, according to the Bible, represent those saved souls, the saints, the children of God. If you remember the twelve tribes, they were considered as precious stones. Remember the priest, and they have this spectral that would be ephah, okay. In Spanish, say pectoral. And they have these ephah. All right, I believe you. You know, the priest, the high priest would carry them upon his chest, right? Those are each of those precious stones represented a tribe. First Peter, chapter 2:5, verse 5, it says that we are living stones. You know, a living stones because it shines, it has like life. It is precious stone. Jesus is the cornerstone, he is the precious stone that was rejected, but also we came to be through him, through his sacrifice, through his work. We became, in God's eyes, precious stones. So, if God's people are precious stones, how am I participating in their edification? How am I participating in those who are near and those who are far? You know, for example, the work that Brother Taru is doing, helping other pastors, those pastors are precious stones. Amen. So he's investing in them. He can't stay there, but he can go and help them.
And you can do the same thing. I know you're doing that with other missionaries, but we still have to grow in that, because this is what God is all concerned about, because this brings glory to his name. Otherwise, if you're not focused on these materials, we will be focused on wood, on hay, and on stone. And all these three has to do with the flesh, the work of the flesh. Yes. And the fire will just burn them up. Amen. Are you growing in Christ's stature? Are you feeding yourself? Are you going to the Bible and letting God talk to you? Are you having your meal, everyday spiritual meal? Or do you still rely on someone that will tell you, read this, read that? Have you read? Have you prayed? You can see that the more mature we are, the more effective we will be in God's mission and for his glory. Let us pray. Father God,